News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Got to keep an eye on the phone here in case Quinn calls in, and maybe he's doing that right now. Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com. Looks like he's about to join the show, Washington Examiner as well. And I know you've looked over some of the things he's been writing here recently.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to get into some of that with Quinn, as there's a lot to get into. I mean, just in our three big things alone, some of the stuff we were discussing this morning, Netanyahu pulling troops out of Rafah over the weekend, and then yesterday saying, well, there is a date. We are going to invade Rafah. And then another story you have here, Trump yesterday revealing his position on abortion heading into the 2024 election. But he joins us now, Quinn Hillier from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
I was going through some of your articles you wrote over this past week, Quinn, and there's been a lot of electric vehicle talk here recently. Of course, Tesla is always involved when you're talking electric vehicles. And for the first time since basically they started pushing cars out of their factory, Tesla had a drop in sales last year. And you're seeing there's a new Gallup poll out there, I believe, that says even though more people are buying electric vehicles, fewer people than we've seen in a long time are actually interested in purchasing an electric vehicle. And as these numbers and stats are coming in, you have the Biden administration and their transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, who maybe it's because the election's on the way, they're making a bigger push than ever to get electric vehicles on the road and gas-powered vehicles off the road.
Well, yeah, several other bad statistics for EVs. First is that Ford is closing an EV plant and one of the automakers is closing an EV battery manufacturing plant because there's just not the demand for it. And at the same time, Biden, I don't know under what authority, frankly, has announced that he's mandating that by, I think it's 2032, some large percentage of all cars and trucks sold must be EVs, and meanwhile he's still subsidizing the heck out of EVs, and even with the subsidies they're still too expensive. People don't want to buy them. They don't hold their charge long enough. They take too long to charge. If it's cold weather, they might not charge at all. They're a mess, and worse than that, the batteries are so big they require so many minerals that are mined all across the country. All across the world, yeah. Usually in mines owned by China. So
not good.
With all that as background, Buttigieg makes the ludicrous claim that, well, all these people that don't like EVs now just need to get with the program. You know, the world's passing them by. They're just like the people, supposedly the people that wanted to keep their landlines in the year 2000, and then later he said, EVs now are sort of where regular automobiles were in about 1910, and both of those statements are so ludicrous because in 1910 with regular vehicles and in 2000 with cell phones, you didn't have to have the government provide lots of subsidies, and you didn't have to have the government provide mandates. And the government in 1910 didn't say that you had to stop selling horse and buggies, and they didn't say you had to stop selling landlines in 2020. I mean, in the year 2000, he is doing the left's normal, idiotic refusal to understand the difference between that which consumers of their own free will want and what the experts tell them they must get. And there's a big difference between the free market and government mandates and government subsidies. And all the, cell phones, there weren't any government subsidies in the 1980s, 1990s. private companies built cell towers because they saw a market emerging. That's not happening with EVs.
I'm looking at this article about EVs across the world, and it's pretty interesting, Quinn. The countries that are kind of accelerating, I guess you would say, much more than anywhere else. China is one of them, where EV sales are going pretty high because we talk about all the minerals, right? They've got them. Norway, Iceland, Sweden, those are the countries where you're seeing an adaptation to the electric vehicles. I don't know to what point, you know, a percentage of the population or whatever, but I don't know why that is, but I just thought that was interesting. I just Googled, like, what other countries are pushing EVs or are the population is buying more EVs, and those are the ones.
I don't know what that's about, but I can tell you this. What is popular in the United States increasingly are hybrids. And with a hybrid, you still get to, you know, recharge or fill up in, you know, the normal 5 minutes rather than taking 45 minutes. The batteries are one-tenth the size. You use a lot less minerals, which, by the way, the mining for the minerals causes all sorts of environmental problems. Mm-hmm.
And it's done with slave labor, generally.
Yeah,
exactly. So you get almost the same amount of benefits in terms of reduced emissions. Not quite as many, but almost as many benefits from reduced emissions. You do not have the environmental damages nearly as much from the mining. You get lower prices. You get consumers being happy. You get consumer convenience. So why not just let the market keep developing for hybrids instead of trying to force, as John Roberts said on Fox News the other day when he was interviewing Buttigieg, why cram this down consumers' throats?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're doing it because a large portion of their voting bloc love to see it, right? And that same portion of the voting bloc, and you've mentioned it, how, you know, they're selling this as perfect for the climate. Do it for the climate. But you mentioned the mines already. Someone out there maybe can remind me how the electricity is made that is used to charge these electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, it's been discussed, and I remember being shocked seeing this article from the Wall Street Journal about 18-wheelers and electric 18-wheelers. How much of that, what would normally be used to haul stuff, they've got to have that room for the battery in these electric vehicle 18-wheelers, and it makes them so much heavier than the ones that are already on the road. The personal vehicles would be much heavier than the ones we're driving already on the road. And look at the problems we already have with roads across the country. This wouldn't make that better. And then laying more asphalt isn't necessarily good for the climate change that they're trying to fix anyway, right?
Well, exactly. And not only that, but if in 8 years we go to 75% EVs, the strain on the electric grid will be massive, and we already are having troubles nationwide with the grid not being able to handle capacity. There's almost no way that the electric grid across the country would be able to handle that many pure EVs. I mean, the problems are so numerous, and yet Biden's administration, through subsidies and especially mandates, are trying, as I say, to cram these things down our throats. It's dumb. It's actually dangerous. It's not that helpful for the environment. It's just a bunch of, you know, know-it-alls trying to order our lives for us, and it's wrong.
And one more thing, you know, I'm not anti-EV. Actually, some of these look absolutely amazing, like that new Tesla that's 0 to 60 in, I think, like 1.89 seconds. Some of these are just ridiculous. I wouldn't mind owning one. But like you said, they're trying to cram it down our throats. I guess my question for you is, with China and their communist government kind of leading the charge here, I do feel like, in a way, we need to be able to compete with them so that they aren't the big leader on the stage, kind of like you see with South Korea and the chips right now. But how could we compete with them without it being government mandated? Could they loosen regulations, or what would make American companies want to compete in the EV market?
Making EVs good enough and cheap enough for consumers to want, and convenient enough. The problem, again, it takes so long to charge them, and their range, their mileage is still only, you know, a couple hundred miles. And then you have to sit for 45 minutes again, and at least, and recharge them. So, you know, the market can do wonders, but you've got to have a product that the market wants.
Interesting. What I'm finding out about Norway is they're way ahead of countries. In fact, it's one of the coldest regions in the world. So evidently, they're not failing the Norwegians like we are concerned about, you know, freezing to death in your car. If you were to, that would happen there. But anyway, they're far ahead of the pack because the government has deliberately and consistently promoted EVs starting all the way back in 1990. So they just started on it earlier, and so that's how they've gotten to the point where more car sales are electric than not electric in Norway.
And you could do that in a country with 100 people like Norway, right?
Yeah, right.
And they're dealing with a lot fewer people and movement of trade and items throughout the country.
Yeah. All right, Quinn, we've got a lot more to get to.
Yeah, I want to talk with you, Quinn, after the break about no labels and them deciding to not run someone this coming election. You have someone in mind who you thought would have been a good candidate for that. And then also Israel and Biden versus Netanyahu. We seem to rarely hear that there are American citizens being held hostage by Hamas. We don't hear it from the leadership. I want to get into that when we get back.
Good.
All right. No labels, no mas, right? That's it. 18 after 8 o'clock with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Good morning, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Quinn Hilliard, QuinnHilliard.com, Washington Examiner joining us. That was a good point, Dalton, about I pointed out that Norway is the country that has got the highest percentage of electric vehicles percentage on the road right now. And it is a country of about 500,000 more people than the state of Alabama.
Mm.
So not a, you know, if we wanted to turn it all around in a couple of, you know, half a year or so, probably a state this size, you could do it,
right?
But our country is a lot bigger than that.
A lot bigger. We're talking with Quinn Hilliard with Washington Examiner, and you find all of his stuff at QuinnHilliard.com, and you can also get the newsletter. Quinn, No Labels, a political group we've discussed quite a bit over the last few months, and it seemed like they were about to put a candidate out there for this year's election, but just last week, the group decided to not, that they wouldn't have a candidate for their unity ticket in the election. The suspension ended months of discussions about this, and, you know, it was just March they said they'd be moving forward. And I know there was a lot of discussion that you've had about this, especially at that event you attended not that long ago. Nikki Haley was one name floated, Chris Christie, Dean Phillips, Joe Manchin, all either turned it down or just weren't making the cut. What are your thoughts on no labels suspending the campaign that wasn't there?
Well, they got on 19 state ballots and were in line to get on another, you know, 15 or so. My understanding, well, first of all, it's tough to get somebody to run unless you can offer them a good infrastructure, you know, to make up for not having a regular party. And there was reporting done over the last week showing that No Labels really couldn't entice a candidate because they had not done a great job with infrastructure. They were very dodgy when the candidates would press them on, okay, well, you know, what is the, where is the small base of donors? Where is the base of big donors? Where is the, you know, where is the campaign infrastructure? Where are the workers, et cetera? And No Labels had not been able to build that sort of thing, and they didn't have enough to offer somebody. And remember, if you get in this race, your family's going to get put through the ringer. I mean, heck, you know, what, eight years ago, you had Trump making fun of Ted Cruz's wife and saying that Ted Cruz's father helped assassinate JFK. I mean, it's really putting your family through a ringer, and no labels, bless their hearts, because I was all for them. They did not come up with enough to make it worth a candidate putting their family through that when they didn't have enough infrastructure.
Hmm.
Wow.
But isn't that the point, to go through that, if you think what you're doing is to save the country, right? So they couldn't anyone who felt that passionate about it enough to run and put their own life at risk?
Well, but again, if you're going to put it, you know, put yourself out there, you need to know that you've actually got a chance. And no labels couldn't convince them that they had enough of an infrastructure to give them a chance. It's one thing to say, well, you know, it's worth it for the country if you do it, but only if you think you have a chance to win.
Who do you think most of the would have been no labels voters will vote for in November, or will they stay home?
There are going to be millions and millions of people that either don't vote or that cast write-in votes. And then, you know, you're going to have a number of people. Some of them will split off and vote for Trump. Some will split off and vote for Biden. Some will go with this, frankly, this nutcase RFK, this, you know, guy with the bad drug history and conspiracy theories and all that. But what bothers me is so many people that were gunning for no labels. One reason no labels had trouble building an infrastructure is you had organized outfits, not just the parties, but others, who were gunning for no labels, threatening people that if you work for no labels, then, you know, then they would do terrible things to you. A lot of people were convinced that they knew what would happen if no labels got in. They, especially people that said no labels would only actually take more votes from Biden than from Trump. Well, guess what? You don't know that. You cannot know that 7 months in advance. As a matter of fact, just 4 months ago, RFK was, by polls, taking more votes from Trump than from Biden. Now it's the reverse. People do not know in advance. You are not a fortune teller. And yet so many people said, oh, well, I know that if a third party gets in, it's going to do X, Y, or Z. No, you don't know that. And now we'll never know that because people that don't want either Biden or Trump will not have a choice.
Quinn Hillier, whose opportunity to be RFK's press secretary just went out the window. Quinn, politics and Israel, how are they? We're going to wrap it up here real quick, but what kind of moves is Biden making right now dealing with Israel that just have to do with pure politics?
He's putting more pressure on Israel than on Hamas. Hamas is the one that actually has rejected three straight ceasefire offers, not Israel. And we have five American hostages there. Have you ever heard Joe Biden make a point of saying their name every day?
Nope.
Or even once a week or even once a month?
Nope.
No. And yet he's worried about losing a large minority of the vote in Michigan and Minnesota, and so he's putting more pressure on Israel, and it's disgusting.
Quinn, appreciate your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Right,
check him out, Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com. Coming up, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. Someone saying, shame on you guys. I'll tell you why they are shaming on us.
Okay.
When we get back from the break right here on Mobile Mornings. On FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Coming to the texts, the phone lines, 251-343-0106 here in just a second. First, let me tell you about the great folks over at Tobias & Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that has helped tons of folks in our area for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. And a great conversation yesterday with Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law. You can hear our podcast, Law 251, on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also, their website, tobiascomerlaw.com. But April is Distracted Driving Month, and I was talking about that with Brian yesterday. The stats are just insane. Over 32,000 people died in distraction-affected crashes over the 10-year period from 2012 to 2021. And obviously, distractions can come from anywhere. It seems like the most usual one you see now are, of course, cell phones and people texting, and it's ridiculous at this point. Distracted driving crashes accounted for 8% of all fatal crashes and 14% of injury crashes. So it's all over. It's not just the drinking and driving or the driving while high, but being distracted can put you at just about as much of a disadvantage as those other things when you're behind the wheel. So don't do it. April is Distracted Driving Month, and they've got all kinds of great information for you and tips and things you could teach. You're just learning how to drive teenagers at tobiascomerlaw.com. You can also call them for a free consultation. From car to boating accidents, defective products, workplace accidents, maritime injuries, they've seen it all. Call for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001. That's 251-432-5001 and online tobiascomerlaw.com.
All righty, 836 FM Talk 106.5. It's like clockwork. Quinn talks for 20 minutes and
the text line blows up.
It does. Yeah. From the text line, unnamed texter, this is the problem with the GOP. People like Quinn, they're all these Republicans who don't want Trump. They don't want to vote for a pro-life guy. They would rather vote for a pro-choice guy, but they called theirself a Republican. Shame on them. Shame on Quinn. Okay. I think Quinn's used to it at this point.
So the texter says, yeah, they would rather vote for a pro-choice guy, but they call themselves a Republican. Shame on Quinn. He's a Catholic. Shame on him. Shame on him. Shame on you guys for putting him on the air every week.
Okay.
Now, and Quinn, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm pretty sure I know where Quinn stands on the abortion issue. He's very much a pro-life guy.
I believe so.
No matter what. Now, for who Quinn's voting for in November, you'd have to get that answer from him. But shame on you guys for putting him on the air every week. I mean, are you sending angry text messages to Fox News and The Five for having Jessica Tarlov on? Were you upset when you had to watch Sean Hannity and Combs when they would have their? I mean, that's the way the world works, man. Not everybody. I'm a Trump guy. I think that's pretty clear. I've made that pretty clear. I'm voting for Trump. And somehow I'm able to talk with Quinn for sometimes 15, 20, 25 minutes at a time.
You guys get at it sometimes, too.
Well, and I don't burst into flames talking to him. He doesn't necessarily change any of my political positions. He has some really smart things that he brings up sometimes. It makes you think, right? And Quinn is a well-established writer, journalist. He's so for everyone, just to let you know, and I know there's a lot of people that get pissed off when we have Quinn on. Every time you text that you don't want him on, that just makes me want to get him on more. I mean, just deal with it. It's just someone with a different opinion. Are you worried that he's changing everyone else's opinion and that all of these Trump voters or all these Republicans are going to, like, change their vote because they listened to Quinn for 20 minutes? No.
I've got a different take on this.
Please.
Unnamed texter. I think that unnamed texter, first of all, Quinn is on for a good long time, so if his opinions don't line up with yours, that's a lot to take. Of course, you know, occasionally we push back, you do.
Oh, he fires me up, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that the unnamed texter, and you can reply to us, I think he loves our show so much, the balance of the show, and the radio station so much, where he could give or take Fox, right? And, you know, this is his station. And so he's fired up because why would you, you know, he's blaming us, but at the same time, that was a love letter.
Oh,
that was a love letter.
Yeah.
Dan and Dalton, don't do that to us. To a wonderful show.
Okay.
And a wonderful radio station. So that's how I take it.
Let's see here. This texter says, what makes you good and why I listen is objectiveness. I think that's about all I have is to try to use common sense, and I'm not very good at using that all the time either.
I think we both try to be objective, you know, and there's some volatile issues out there. The thing going on between the Mobile District Attorney's Office, Mobile County DA, and the Pritchard Police Department. You know, we could jump up and down about all that, but like I said yesterday, they're going to have a meeting, or they should have a meeting, and they're going to sort it out. Mm-hmm. And some feelings have been hurt, and now today's the day when that's going to happen. Could have taken a different direction on that yesterday and set the city on fire. Chose not to do that because it's going to work itself out. I believe I think I know what's going on with the Pritchard PD and why he said what he said, and was it race baiting or whatever? Probably might have been. I'm not sure. But before we set the city's on fire, let's slow down and let these administrations work it out.
Yeah. A lot of texts about the electric vehicle discussion as well. And this texter says, Tesla charging stations take 20 minutes, if that, to fully charge a car. Oh, that's Pat. Thank you, Pat. And, you know, that's something during the winter, there's a lot of discussion about some of these. Was it Chicago that had, we had a lot of major snowstorms, and people in Chicago, for sure, I know, were having trouble charging their vehicles.
Yeah.
I haven't owned an electric vehicle, so I don't know the specifics, but from what I was reading is there is a way to have your vehicle kind of prepped and ready to be charged, even in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the outreach, teaching people how to use the vehicles isn't there. I mean, and like I've told you, there's so much unknown.
You're right. There's so much unknown as this is being driven down on us. Like, you better step up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, there's not enough information that we're really being given or trying to see. That's why I was looking at Norway and trying to see exactly, and I will do more of that to see exactly what their rate of, how it's going.
Yeah.
How these cars are performing, especially in a cold country like that.
Yeah, my main problem is that the federal government is trying to force the EVs on society that is not ready for EVs. And not only that, I mean, it would destroy our society. If tomorrow they said, all right, all EVs, no more gas-powered vehicles on the road, do you know how much trade would stall? I mean, it would completely bring us to a stop. And it's ridiculous, but they're just doing it to get votes in 2024, and they're not thinking about all the other things that come with EVs, including the damage to roads.
Well,
does anyone out there want to see even more damage to the roads? I mean, we have a hard enough time. That seems to be the most nonpartisan thing, or bipartisan, I should say, that everyone can get behind, is you got to have roads that work. And every state legislature every year are talking about roads and fixing roads, right? And so we're going to put millions of vehicles out there that weigh double or nearly double the
vehicle. What's that going to do?
Oh, my God. Yep. And
I mean, the country will look like New Orleans. And those roads in the middle of that city, you can ruin your car driving around there.
A texter here says the big chip country is Taiwan. Yeah, I think I said South Korea earlier, Taiwan. And I still think that's ridiculous. What, 80% of chips worldwide are made in Taiwan?
Crazy.
And, of course, you got that battle brewing over there. Your friendly neighborhood banker. I think Quinn is wrong on this one. Americans don't want EVs because they're expensive. They're actually cheaper than some new higher-end cars. We don't want them because they're simply inconvenient. Don says, good morning, Dan and Dalton. I can tell you, being a retired FedEx truck driver, 18-wheelers will not go. They have enough problems now with electrical emissions on a diesel engine. As it is, most diesels are bulletproof. It's the environmental garbage that they have on them now that costs so much to fix. Preach, Don. You can imagine what an all-electric 18-wheeler is going to cost. It would take an owner, operator, a lifetime just to pay the thing. And I'm sure there's a lot of money, we've seen it time and time again with the green energy. There's a lot of pockets that are getting lined, and a lot of those pockets that are getting lined are the people that are trying to push legislation to push EVs and green energy on the American people. Mr. Plott says, we are one of the cleanest countries on the face of the earth. As long as India and China do not participate in any of this green stuff, nothing will change. All it will do is cost the American people money and jobs we can't afford to lose. Workers are being sacrificed on the altar of environmentalism as nothing more than a virtue signal. I might have to write that sentence down,
yep.
Mr. Plott. Workers are being sacrificed on the altar of environmentalism as nothing more than a virtue signal.
Nice. How about Dirt Digger? This is an interesting take. Dirt Digger, New Bay Bridge better be prepared if an EV catches on fire, destroying the new bridge. So he's got the bridge.
He's optimistic. He's got the bridge being built. Okay. Yeah. Let's say by 2029. Okay. So sorry to put words in your mouth there, Dirt Digger, but let's say 2029. He's got it being built, and then a EV fire burns it down to the bay. So
that would not be good.
No, it would not be, terrible.
Yeah, that's something we haven't even discussed, the EV fires. You can't put them out.
Can't put
you
them out.
You see some of these city buses that have caught on fire? It's just, you know, raging. And yeah. How is that for the environment, seeing all those elements that are in those batteries just float up into the Chicago sky or whatever city
good,
has
good
these?
Good point.
Absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of the bridge, and talked about that quite a bit yesterday, but Brendan Kirby with Fox 10 had a little conversation with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell, and the big talk with now the Aldott Bridge project being delayed by at least 60 days. I think we think it may go much longer than that. And this is all because the cost has gone so high. Well, when you talk about the cost of a bridge or any road work going up, you think, well, how much more are we going to have to pay for this change in the cost? Burrell, who's also, of course, on the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, said he was referencing the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And this is something we've talked about often as well. He said that falls under emergency funding, but it's a little hard to take after years of being told the federal cupboard is bare when it comes to funding a bridge over the Mobile River and replacing the Bayway. He said it's funny how they could find the money for those emergency situations where they can't find it for our everyday commute situations. But his comments come after the Aldott announcement last week that it's going to be the bridge project a little more delayed than usual. So by 2022, cost of the bridge was at $2.7 billion. Latest projection has it as high as $3.5 billion. But remember when the MPOs agreed to this.
2021.
Unlike they did in 2019, or they got what they wanted this time, not at all that they wanted. They wanted zero tolls. Obvious, or the No Tolls group wanted zero tolls.
And it was at the end of the year when they finally got it together, kind of snuck it in right before Christmas, either in 21 or 22.
So the original bridge plan back in 2019, they were going to toll the Bankhead. They were going to leave the Bankhead, right, and toll the Wallace. And there were going to be a lot more tolls. Mm-hmm. I think pretty much any way you cross the bay, they were going to try to find a way to toll you.
And they were going to toll you more on the Mobile River and Bayway.
Yeah,
that was going to be more expensive.
So what they agreed to back in 2021 was just tolling the new bridge, and that for at least regular passenger cars, no more than $2.50 a trip. And for the 18-wheelers, that was up to, I think, $18 a trip or something
it was
like
huge,
that.
Right.
And, of course, you could get the pass, which you're still going to be paying a monthly rate, but you won't be paying $2.50 per trip. Well, Burrell says that they are not going to backtrack on the toll rates,
well, that's,
even with the increase in cost.
That felt to me like the obvious way to go. So if he says that, okay, but, you know, we want it to be built for sure. And it doesn't, tolls go up. It just, you know what I mean? It starts at $2.50 or whatever, but
I paid on my way to Orlando four tolls total. And it was $1.75 each toll.
Okay.
Burrell says they have to find the funding. Costs are coming in more than they expected. Interest rates have risen. But we're holding Aldott's feet to the fire on the $2.50 toll. So I'm going to say right now, it can be built without increasing the toll rate.
Okay.
He said, I know that putting that into the framework and putting that restriction on it makes it harder for them. You don't want to make it easy on them to just say, we can make the toll, whatever.
Well, that's the most popular part of that whole thing. Was they brought the tolls down, manageable, $2.50. We're not crazy about paying $2.50 to cross the Bayway, but at the same time, you've got the monthly option, and the public opinion on that was like, okay, we'll do that, because in 19 it was much, much more.
And when were they talking about sunsetting that toll? Wasn't it a 50-year toll, something around that they had agreed to for the bridge in their 2022 agreement? Maybe that's what they're going to do, is further out the sunset. Maybe we'll just be paying for this bridge until, I don't know, 2100, 2150.
There you go.
I don't know how they'd make that happen.
Stretching into my afterlife again. All these stories stretch into my afterlife, and I'm sick and tired of it. Depressing. It's 849 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. More on the text line, and you can call if you want, 251-343-0106 to Mobile Mornings.
854 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. The Jeff Poor Show on the way. And he has guests. Hour number one, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell joins the show. In the second hour, Jeff will talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. And in hour number three, Chairman of the Alabama GOP, John Wall, joins Jeff Poor.
He has guests, but he doesn't have guests like this. Ricky, did you survive the eclipse yesterday? How are you?
Good, guys. I never did believe it. I knew it wasn't going to happen anyway because the sun rises from the east to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And the eclipse really happened 3 days prior in other places. So it was happening all the, you know, up until the 8th, it was happening in three different other spots. So
you said the eclipse did not happen yesterday.
No, I'm saying that it happened 3 days ahead of time. People don't realize it happened like the 5th, 6th, and 7th. It was happening in other places. I don't know why they didn't show that.
Yeah. Damn it.
Probably hiding something.
The end of it was like the 8th, you know what I mean? But it was happening all across the earth for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I've read no reports that would confirm that.
Or dispute it, really.
but listen.
What's up, Ricky?
The reason why I called Obama's wife, Michelle, now is going to run as a man for president in 2024
okay.
because Obama gave him LGBTQ.
Okay.
And the other thing is the market's fixing to crash. Everybody's fixing to be busted. I pray that Alabama get ready for the famine that's coming.
Well, you might have something about the market. I'm concerned about the market myself, but appreciate the call. And Michelle Obama will, okay, there you have it. I mean, that's it. Michelle Obama will not only run for president, she will run for president.
As a man.
As a man, and so.
So, well, then, if that happens, will Michelle Obama, if she wins running as a man, be able to claim being the first female president?
No.
She would. By running as a man, she would be bypassing
first transgender president, I guess. And so,
as far as we know,
she could be president of the United States, but she could not compete against the University of Mobile on a women's
yeah,
because the NAIA came out with their ruling yesterday. So she might want to backtrack a little bit before she goes ahead and runs to Men's Parts R Us or wherever you shop for what you need.
I'm afraid to. To put that on, I'm afraid to search for Men's Parts R Us.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. I want to see if it's a real site, but I also don't, if you know what I mean.
I do that you don't.
And, you know, I predicted that Michelle Obama would be the Democrat candidate back at the end of 2022.
Yeah, but you didn't put that twist on it.
I did not. No, I did not put that final little twist there that really gets the views.
Yeah.
But I guess I was wrong. I think I could... Fairly, I could say I was wrong at this point. I do not think that Michelle Obama will be the Democrat nominee. I thought there was a good chance, you know, in 2022 that she would be. But
well, don't discount an emergency. I mean, there could be an emergency candidate that's got to be.
But would it be her?
I don't know. But it'd be whoever they thought, I guess, you know, could
think, win. I think at this point they'd have to just plug Kamala in, honestly.
I guess, to satisfy everybody, right?
Or maybe Buttigieg. No, Buttigieg has no chance, right? I wanted to get you this poll, by the way, because I love the congressional approval poll
mm-hmm.
when it comes out. I was surprised by how low the number is of people who think that Congress is doing a poor job. So Rasmussen did their poll here. They said 59% of likely voters say Congress is doing a poor job. And that's up from 52% in January. There are 15% of Americans out there, like not just Americans, likely U.S. voters, who rate Congress's performance as good or excellent.
Oh, okay.
15%.
They are paying close attention to the news every night.
What percentage of the 15% do you think are government employees?
What percentage of the 15% are in our audience? If you're among the 15%, feel free to text us because it's wide open. 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, got to get out of here. Jeff Poor is on the way, and he starts next.